Bible to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to use this text, this passage, as a springboard as we begin our study. I want to take a line from one of the verses in chapter 6 as the title for our study, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." I want to talk about that this morning. Let's read Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Paul has written this emergency epistle. These Christians are being taught false doctrine by Judaizers who've come in and told these Gentile Christians, no, 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 if you're going to be saved, you have to be circumcised, you have to keep the law of Moses. That was false, and there were all kinds of consequences to taking that path. And so Paul fires off this emergency epistle. And after he addresses the doctrine, then, as is the pattern with all his epistles, then he gets to some points of application. Let's look at these points. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Look at all of these responsibilities that are placed upon Christians who are walking or living in the Spirit. That's really the theme of these last few chapters of the book of Galatians. We are to restore brethren who are overtaken in trespasses. We are to bear one another's burdens while we are bearing our own Lord. We are to support those who are benefiting us by teaching us. We're reminded that we will reap what we sow, and we're to do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And here in the midst of all of these admonitions is this admonition: let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What does it mean to grow weary? Why might this happen to a Christian? And what are some things that we can do to overcome this state of weariness? Let's spend a few moments talking about that this morning. Now, as far as the first question, what does it mean to grow weary? I don't think we have to spend a lot of time talking about that. We know what it means to be weary. Most translations have that phrase, "do not grow weary." The New American Standard Version, though, says, "do not lose heart," which I think is an interesting translation. Grow weary, lose heart, are translated from a Greek word that means to be utterly spiritless, to be exhausted. Think about somebody that has lost their spirit. That spark, that driving force is extinguished and it's gone. Another definition of this word is to lose one's motivation in continuing a desirable pattern of conduct. That is, we know it's good and it's something that we want to do, but the fire's out. We've lost our motivation. We've lost our enthusiasm. We have become discouraged. No, that doesn't happen to spirit-filled Christians, does it? Yes, it does. It does. We are to be zealous for good works, Titus 2:14 tells us, but that requires continued effort. That requires constant toil. We know that we will reap in due season if we do not lose heart. But we can lose heart. I thought, as I was putting this material together, I thought about the observation that Jesus made and what He said to Peter, James, and John on the night in Gethsemane. When He goes and He prays and He comes back and finds them sleeping. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You and I are in these bodies of flesh and they grow tired. And so while we're doing good, while we're serving the Lord, yes, we can become weary physically, but we can also become weary emotionally. And we can become weary even spiritually. So I want to talk about that. It's easy and it's understandable to lose that motivation, for that fire to go out when we fail to see the results. Yes, we know that there is a harvest. We know that we're going to reap. But shouldn't we have reaped something by now? You see, as we're thinking about that, it's easy to become discouraged, to become weary. When we receive criticism, maybe we're doing the best that we can, and all that people can do is point out the failures. All they can do is complain. There's only so much of that a person can take. And they become weary. Maybe we lose the support of those who were at one time supporting us. It's understandable that we can become weary and we can lose heart. So we understand that. I think we're all on the same page. Now let's go forward. What would cause a Christian to become weary? You know, if you listen to some, maybe those who would hold to the false doctrine of the health and the wealth gospel, the idea that if your faith is strong, nothing's going to go wrong. Well, that's not what Scripture teaches. There are challenges that come with serving the Lord. Is it possible for faithful Christians to become weary? And the answer is yes. How? Under what circumstances? If we stay right here in our text, it's from doing good. Just because we're doing good doesn't mean it isn't tiresome. Just because we're doing good doesn't mean that everyone we know is on board with it and they're encouraging us in doing that. It doesn't mean that it isn't going to have an exhausting impact upon our minds and even on our bodies. We talked from the text about the fact that we will reap if we do not lose heart, but we need to reap something. We need to know that the things that we are doing are having a positive benefit. There's a proverb tucked away, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred. We know that there's going to be a harvest. We know that we're going to reap something. We know that there's some good that's going to come from this. But we never see it come, and that can begin to wear on us. We're doing good. No doubt we're doing good, but we can begin to lose heart because we don't see that positive result. I think about Elijah. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, by the way, we're going to get into 1 Kings in our Wednesday night study here in a couple of weeks. Elijah was a man who did good. He engaged 450 prophets of Baal in that contest on Mount Carmel, and he won. God won. Elijah was standing alone on the right side, but there was a victory there, and the very next chapter, he has resigned. He has prayed for the Lord to take his life because he hadn't done any better than anyone else. And he says, "I'm all alone." What happened? He lost heart. He became discouraged, even though he was doing good. Brethren, that can happen to you and me. So we need to have our wits about us. We need to understand that when the blues come, when discouragement comes, that doesn't necessarily mean we're not doing good. It is possible for us to become weary while doing good. That's why this warning is given right here in this context in Galatians chapter 6. But there's another place where this warning is found, and that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And with this passage, I would say that it's possible for faithful Christians to become weary in obeying difficult commands. I know that love is supposed to take the burden out of commands. And love is supposed to take the burden out of that toil and out of that effort. 1 John chapter 5 and at verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And so if we love the Lord, that's going to change the way we view the Scriptures that tell us what it is that God would have us to do and what it is God would have us not to do. Well, that's not a burden if we love the Lord. Doesn't mean we're not going to grow weary. In the book of Genesis, chapter 29 and verse 20, we read there that Jacob labored 7 years for his wife, Rachel, and they seemed to him just a few days because of the love that he had for her. I imagine he got tired over those 7 years, but there was that love. So I make that observation. Yes, if we love the Lord, His commandments are not burdensome, but still, we've got this text and we've got this admonition and we need to be honest with it. What Paul is calling on the church to do in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is what we would identify as church discipline. Here is a brother who is walking disorderly. And what are they told to do? Withdraw from him. Verse 14, if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person, do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. We're talking about marking and withdrawing. That's about as difficult as it gets. And right here in the middle of it, verse 13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. When we are in a position where we have to mark and we have to withdraw from a brother or sister who is walking disorderly, that is good. That doesn't mean it's easy. No, it can be hard. It can be challenging. But there are other commands that the Lord gives us that are challenging. What about loving our enemy and praying for those who spitefully use us and persecute us? What about forgiving the brother who has sinned against us when he repents? We spent some time talking about that in a recent Wednesday night class or two. And that's difficult, that's hard, and it can take a lot out of you. It can. It can be wearisome when others put us in a position where we have to do some difficult things. That can make us weary, but we have to overcome this challenge of weariness. And here's one more I would include. Christians can become weary when they're suffering for their faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. This was our scripture reading this morning earlier in our worship service. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who is that cloud of witnesses? Chapter 11. All those great heroes of faith from the Old Testament. For us today, we could add to that the faithful that we know that have gone on. They are viewed as being up in the stands now. They've run their leg of the race, and now it is our turn to run. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Whenever we are suffering for our faith, we know that we have a Savior who knows exactly how we feel. Because He did the same thing. He went through the same thing. He suffered hostility from sinners. And He endured. And we're to follow that example. Now you and I, these Christians were suffering. They were suffering for their faith. If you look down at verse 4, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. They haven't suffered that far, but they've gotten right up to it. If you look in chapter 10, back up into chapter 10, Chapter 10, start at verse 32. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, that is, after you've learned the truth. Here they first become Christians. What happened? You endured a great struggle with sufferings. Right off the bat, they're suffering for their faith. Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. What happened? Those around about them made them a spectacle. Oh, you're turning to Christ? You're turning your back on your family religion, Judaism? And they were mocking them. They were making them a spectacle. And if not doing that directly to them, then they were being identified with others who were treated that way. You're in the company of those who are a spectacle. For you had compassion on me and my chains, verse 34, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Some of them had people come in and loot their house or loot their business because they had become Christians. Are we suffering today for our faith? Yeah, but not like this. Not like this. They were. They were. And what does the inspired writer of the book of Hebrews say? Look to Jesus lest you become weary and discouraged. We have to look unto Jesus. We suffer today in various ways for our faith. We suffer ridicule and rejection from some. Now, I realize we live in a culture, we live in a society where there's ebb and flows concerning Christianity. And right now, we seem to be riding up on a crest. But we know it's not going to take long before that's going to change. And it's going to be unpopular to hold to the values that are set forth in the Word of God. That time will come again, sooner than later. So yes, we will suffer. We'll suffer criticism. We'll suffer slander. We'll have people who will lie about us. We might lose friends. We might be passed over for financial opportunities, maybe advancements in our job, because we are going to be faithful Christians. Satan knows. One of the most effective ways to discourage God's people is to cause them to suffer. Do we not learn that in Job chapter 1? When Satan comes to God and God says, have you considered my servant Job? He's upright. There's none like him. And Satan says, yeah, that's because you don't let anything bad happen to him. But you take all these blessings away and you just watch. He's going to curse you to your face. And so the challenge was on. And that's what we read of as the book of Job unfolds. Satan continues doing the same thing. So we can become weary in prolonged suffering for our faith. Yes, it can happen. The fact that we're warned about it proves that it can happen. So let's talk for a few moments now. What can we do about it? What can we do when we do become weary in doing good? What can we do to prevent it? What can we do when we find that it is happening? Well, there is the matter of motivation. Remember one of the definitions that we looked at. When you lose your motivation to do something that you know you ought to do. That's what it meant to become weary. So let's talk for a few moments about having the proper motivation. We could go any number of places in the Bible, but I want to look at this one verse right here. It'd give us something that we can take home in our hand and that will help us during these times that we find that we are growing weary, that we are losing heart, that we are struggling, keeping on. This passage is going to help us. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, a very young church. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. As you look at this text as it's lined up here, you might say, Heath, you had some problems getting this lined up in the right way. No, I did this on purpose. Here's our three points. What motivation do we need? Number one, We need our work to be done in faith. Work is those things that we do, the good deeds. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Restoring those who are erring, bearing with those who are weak, sharing with those who are teaching, obeying the difficult commands, all of that would fall under this category of work. This work, this activity, has to be motivated by our faith. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are you here at Knollwood today? Is it because you're forced to do it? Did somebody force you to come? Did somebody force you to become a Christian? Is it because it's what others are doing? And you're simply doing it because of other people? It had better be because you have a conviction that serving the Lord is the right thing to do. That's the proper motivation, that our work is not out of convenience, our work is not out of oppression and we're forced to do it, but our work is out of faith. We know that it is the right thing to do, to restore the erring, to bear with those who are struggling, to do good to all, even to obey the difficult commands. We do it because we're committed to our Savior. That's why we do it. And we need to remember that sometimes, because we don't always have our eyes on Jesus. We're not always looking upon Him like we should. And when we begin to grow weary, our eyes need to go back to our Lord. And we need to work in faith. We need to labor in love. Work and labor, these are different words. Interesting word here in the Greek for labor. The word originally meant to be hit, to be struck, or to strike yourself, like someone would beat their chest when they were upset about something or remorseful about something. Then, over time, its usage came to refer to working so that you make yourself weary. So labor here is that toil, it's that effort that will make you weary, but it has to be in love. Now let's talk for just a moment about this labor. Let's talk about this work, this kind of work we need to be doing for the Lord. The same Greek word is used in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. I like this verse. If you remember back a couple months ago when we had our gospel meeting, Brother Mike Richardson, he left us with this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the Bible's resurrection chapter. It's all about the resurrection from the dead. It's about our ultimate victory. This is what Paul wanted. He wanted to attain the resurrection from the dead. He was willing to give up everything in order to have that. So a great chapter, a powerful chapter. Look at the last verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, same word, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, we are going to work until we're weary. We are going to toil until we are tired, but we don't give up for any reason because we know that it's not in vain. Why is it not in vain? Look at Hebrews 6 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and at verse 10, there's a great promise from God that's tucked away in this chapter, and we don't hear about it very often, but what a great passage. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. God doesn't forget. Now, the people around you may forget. The people you're doing it for may one day forget. It may seem like nobody knows, and isn't that the best way to do good works anyways when no one knows? Here's the promise from Scripture. God will not forget. He will remember the things that we have done. And so maybe people around about us don't seem to appreciate it. God does. God remembers. So we are steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because God does not forget. God remembers. Our labor, though, has to be motivated by agape love. Agape love, remember, is not primarily the emotion. It's not the touchy-feely love. It's the I'm going to do what you need me to do because it's the right thing to do love. It's that, what is that handy definition that we have? Benevolent goodwill towards others. That's the kind of love that we do. We do it for the benefit of others. Galatians chapter 5, going back to Galatians, Galatians 5 verse 14, for all the laws fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So how do we overcome growing weary in doing good? We keep the right motivation. We do it out of love. We labor out of love. And then, if you're following along, patience of hope. Patience of hope. We have to have patience in order to fight back discouragement and weariness. Paul uses the figure of a farmer or farming here in Galatians chapter 6. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Let us not grow weary while doing good. In due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We're going to reap, but only if we continue on until it's harvest time. Now here's where the illustration perhaps breaks down. We understand some things involved in farming, but we also know this, that in the spring you plant and in the fall you harvest. That's true with physical things, with this world that is set in order with seed time and harvest. But with spiritual things don't operate on that kind of a calendar. And we might sow and we might labor and we might water for years until God gives the increase. And that can be hard. That can be challenging. But we have to remember that the harvest will come. Because God has promised that it will, and we will reap if, there's that word if we do not lose heart. Another figure that Paul uses is that of a runner running a race. He uses that a number of times. That's what we found in Hebrews chapter 12 just a moment ago. Turn back there to Hebrews chapter 12. The Christian race, if you will, every time this example of a runner is used to talk about the life and the struggle of a Christian, it's never someone that is doing a 50-yard dash. It's never get down in the starting block and you get all wound up and when you hear that pistol, you take off running as fast as you can. No, it's always a marathon. Believe it or not, I have very little experience running marathons. I know some of you may find that hard to believe, but it's true. But you don't have to have a lot of experience to understand the point that's being made here. We have to run with endurance. We have to see it all the way through to the end. Being a Christian isn't a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. And brethren, we're running through our life. And some days we're going to be running through a victory parade. And some days we're going to be running through a fallen battlefield. That's just the way it is. Some days we're going to be running on the mountaintops. And some days we're going to be running down through the valley. But we keep running. Some days we're going to see that we are running shoulder to shoulder with our friends and our brethren. And some days it's going to feel like we're running all alone. It's going to feel like others have deserted us. Keep running. You keep running. You don't ever stop. We will reap if we continue steadfast through to the end. Our patience. Have you ever heard the idea that my patience is about gone? If you've ever parented children, Yeah, yeah, you've had that idea or a different situation. My patience is about gone. What is it that fuels our patience and our endurance? Hope. It's our hope. And our hope is not a wish. For us Christians, our hope is joyful and confident expectation. We work and we run because we know that God has promised a harvest. And we have our hope in God. We don't have our hope in ourselves. We don't have our hope in other people. We have our hope in God. And as long as our hope is anchored in God, then we can endure all the way through to the end. Why is our hope in God steadfast and sure? Because God has never, never let us down. Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There are numerous things that can cause us to become weary, to lose our motivation and our enthusiasm that throws a bucket of water on that fire that was at one time burning in our hearts. Whatever it is that does that, we've got to overcome it. We've got to overcome it. And we do so with a proper motivation, with a commitment to the Lord, with a love for serving Him, and with a joyful and confident expectation that we will reap that harvest on that last day. Brethren, let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us strive faithfully all the way through to harvest time, all the way through to that finish line. Let us not grow weary.